Hour number two of 3D here on 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio Nashville. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Chase McCabe. Darren McFarland is on vacation this week. He'll be back with us on Monday, and we will be full-on 3D from August forward.
And live at Titans training camp.
Lots of Titans training camp appearances. Our show is at the right time. That's just basically how it's happened. The way they do training camp these days, it's timed up well for 3D. So mm-hmm. you're going to be wanting to listen to us. We'll have our eyeballs on what's going on out there and also have a chance to maybe get some good interviews, talk about a lot of the storylines and themes as they lead up to the season.
And we're right by the jugs machine, so Derek, if you want to get in there like old times, you can.
It's like riding a bike. Like riding a bike.
I'd actually like to see that.
I think Darren and I then need to have a contest who can catch the most, which I would give myself favorite status. I think I could do it. The question is, how close could I get to decent numbers that wouldn't embarrass me if I were at a football practice? So we'll see if we can make that happen. Like, what are the different levels of the jugs machine? Do you have, like, there's
different
levels.
It goes up to 100.
I mean, they can really crank it up, right?
It goes up to 100, but typically 100 it doesn't make sense. You end up breaking a finger. But, you know, guys get it up to about 60, and they get real close, 70.
Yeah, they move a little closer.
Closer, a little closer.
Okay.
Some guys get right up on it and just, you know.
Oh, I remember watching. I mean, when you're doing these shows year after year and you see guys after practice, you watch them do that and the different things. You get your arms moving before the ball comes. So you
one hand catch,
simulate,
turn around.
Right.
And, you know, ball. They shoot
take the ball at an angle. You turn your shoulders one way.
So there's different ways you can count.
So you have to take us through the drills, Darren and I, and see if you can. And we want the good gloves. I want the good gloves that are really sticky, you know. That'll be the key.
They're all sticky now. It doesn't matter.
Well, speaking of wide receivers, Corey Davis right now has the time ticking on him getting there, being in there the first day, or maybe it'll go in to the first couple days of training camp, which is not good. Andrew Brandt is going to join us to discuss the whole offset language issue at 11:15. But Derek, just from a player standpoint, the nightmare from a Titan fan standpoint, the fear anyway, and I've seen it with a lot of different players at different positions, but particularly while wide receiver or a defensive back, when you're not there for a couple of days, even if it's just a few days, things can snowball on you if you get behind. Is that true? That would be my fear.
It, you know, missing a day, nah. I think you can get in there and you can catch back up in a matter of a few days. That's if you miss a day. But then if you start getting into the week, you know, you miss a week, then miss a week and a half, so forth and so on. That's when it's very difficult as a player. And what I always worry about with guys that hold out, and I think, and I could be wrong on this, but for some reason, guys that have held out, not like a day or two holdout. I'm talking lengthy holdouts. They've always come back, and they pulled a hamstring.
That is what my next question is going to be. It seems like, and
you know,
I don't have
tweet,
all the numbers.
You know, you're reading the
Kenny Britt used to be the king. It seems like
you're reading the paper. Oh, such ain't playing. He tweaked his hamstring. He's not practicing today. He's got a sore hamstring. Yeah, he just got back in camp.
Right. Then you want to get back quick, and then you aggravate it. That's part of the snowball.
Yeah, because these young guys got to understand. Yeah, first and foremost, it's a business. So you need to get all your money. You need to get as much money up front as you possibly can. That's first and foremost, because if you can't produce, they're going to cut you and they're going to get their money back. So you might as well try to get as much money as you possibly can. So that's first and foremost. I think the second thing is these players need to understand, especially now more than any other time in the NFL, because the days are shorter, because you don't have as many camps, you do not put your body in football shape. I can run as many times around a track, I can do as many sprints, I can lift as many weights as I want to. But when I step out on that football field, it's only then will I get in real football shape, because it's constant movement, you know, breaking down, having those pads on, the heat, everything else. Everything you don't do when you're working out with a trainer or by yourself, you're doing on a football field. You can try to simulate some of it, but you can't simulate all of it. That's why you see guys, a lot of times these young guys are getting hurt in these mini camps. Why? Because they're just practicing to run the 40. They're just doing things so they can get through the NFL combine and their individual workouts. And then when they start doing football specific stuff every day with somebody pushing and pulling on you, they pull a hamstring, tweak an ankle. It's the same way when you hold out. Even though you're still working out, and I'm sure Corey Davis is working his tail off, but it's nothing like being that first day at camp, working with your teammates, getting your body acclimated while everyone else is getting their body acclimated. Now, you're going to walk in, their body's going to be ready to go, and you're still going to be lagging behind, not just from a classroom standpoint, but from a physical standpoint out there on the field.
We've talked about how important it is to have him contribute this year in the grand scheme. They really, if you're going to use the fifth pick, you want him to be an impact guy. You want him helping your roster right from the start on a team, especially that you're ready to start winning. So is it worth, and I'll ask this on both sides of the equation, we'll ask it to Andrew Beth, is it worth holding out and diminishing those chances of having him be ready for a team that's ready to win over this offset language?
I guess it all depends on what that offset language is, you know? It's something.
Can you compromise on offset language? Are there ways to meet in the middle on that?
I'm pretty sure you can, and I'm pretty sure
this is what we'll ask Andrew.
They will get to a point where they are, you know, all right, let's just meet in the middle on this thing. But listen, if it's worth it to you to have it, then it's got to be worth it for you to hold out.
So it really starts with the player,
exactly,
right?
Because ultimately the player can say, you know what, let's forget it. I just want to be in camp. This is what they're going to give me. I'm going to trust that I'm going to be on this team, and, you know, so be it. But I understand, you know, you got somebody working for you that you want to them to be that advisor for you, because they've been at this for a while. You just hope they're advising you the right way. So the player has a lot of trust in his agent to make the right deal. But ultimately, players, they work for you. You don't work for them. Sometimes they make you feel that way. Sometimes you get scared to ask things or say things. They work for you. You pay them that 3%. They don't pay it to you.
When we come back, Andrew Brandt will join us. We'll go a little deeper into this discussion about what is the holdup? What is offset language? And will they get this deal done? Corey Davis, Tennessee Titans, only two first-round picks that are not signed. Corey Davis is one of them. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of 3D. All right, we're back here on 3D. Willie Donick, former Titan, former Raven receiver, Derek Mason here with you. And we want to get some insight on contract negotiations, so we turn to one of the best in the business on this, Andrew Brandt, with the Monday Morning Quarterback website. He writes a weekly column there. He's joined us many times before. Andrew, it's great to catch up with you. I know you're a little short on time, but thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, I'm always happy to be with you guys.
All right. Well, Andrew, first, if you can, tell people who maybe don't know all the nuances here about the importance, if you're a player, of trying to get offset language in your contract. Because, of course, Corey Davis is one of the two first-round picks that still isn't signed, and it does look like he would really like to have offset language in his contract.
Yeah, and he would really like to not have offset language, so let's be specific about that. And I think the background is, as everyone knows, the new CBA took a haircut to any kind of negotiations for what can be had in these rookie contracts when it comes to the money. So the money's preset for every pick. You knew the day that Corey Davis was drafted, we knew what he was going to get in terms of signing bonus, in terms of four-year contract, fifth-year option, all that was set. What's not set is some little things like language. Offset language, in simplest terms, means the guarantee, which his contract will be fully guaranteed, is offset if later on in the contract he's cut, signs with someone else, whatever they pay him, the Titans would get relief from that. And teams have been insistent on getting this in their contracts, really sort of imposing their will on agents and players, saying, yeah, we're not going to cut you, but in case we do, we want money back from the other team so you don't get to double dip. And that's what this has been about. And by and large, teams have been successful in getting this all the way up to the top pick.
So Corey Davis has the same agent that Joey Bosa has. And last year, mm-hmm. Joey Bosa was the one guy that held out for a while. So what did we learn from Joey Bosa's negotiation that might play into this one?
Well, they were insistent on the offset language there, which I don't believe they got. And the other issue with Bosa was payment terms on the bonus, where the Chargers were putting a lot into, very little into this year and a lot into future years. And I don't know if that's an issue with the Titans or not, but that, again, that's something that's negotiable that people don't realize, way beyond whatever's going on with the money. You have to negotiate when's the signing bonus paid and for how long, how long does it take to pay off. You know, you have the CAA group, Tom Condon in that group, that's been trying to make gains for players in these areas beyond money. And this is an example of that. Whether it's offset or payment terms, they're going to try to make gains. Now, again, a couple teams haven't worried about offset. That would be the Jaguars with Fournette right before them. And the Rams, same issue. But as far as I can tell, every other team cares about it and is able to impose it, including the top pick in Cleveland.
Now, Andrew, Willie did ask me. He asked me about my contracts when I played, and did I have offset language in it? And I told him I don't think it was offset language wasn't as big then. I guess not. It was you do the contract, and obviously you wanted to be more player friendly. But asking you because you've been through this, were these yeah. same type of offsets in prior contracts leading up to the last 3, 4, 5 years?
Well, with rookies, they really weren't because we didn't have future guarantees.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
we had huge signing bonus and then option bonuses. So once you got the option bonus, you were pretty much set with a fully guaranteed. And there wasn't clawback on the bonus except if you got in trouble or something happened or the morals clause and those kind of things. So what we have now, though, the issue that you raise, having been a veteran player and signing a couple big veteran contracts as you did, this is all about the veterans. So whoever this Titan signed in free agency with future guarantees, they don't want him to come in and say, well, you didn't give offset to that rookie. Well, I'm sure not going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all about precedent for the veterans as much as it is about the rookie.
Now, do you think this is something that eventually will be tackled in the next collective bargaining? Because obviously the money is slotted for rookies.
Right.
So you know what they're going to get, but as you said, there is that little language thing that they still have the ability to play with.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you guys and I talk a lot about the last CBA and the next mm-hmm. CBA, and unfortunately for the players, they're stuck on a 10-year term,
exactly.
which I think is one of the real weaknesses of this deal. And, you know, Derek, let's add it to the list. a lot of things the players need to get out of this, but standardized contract, mm-hmm. you know, I think people may know or not, but 99% of the contract is standardized. It's really just looking at these money clauses and offset on the guarantees that is still negotiable. It'd be nice to have everything standardized, but the question is it standardized with offset or standardized without offset? That's the question.
Andrew Brand is with us from the MMQB. He has been a player agent. He has also been a negotiator for a team, the Green Bay Packers. So he's been on both sides of these negotiations. So, Andrew, is there a way to meet in the middle for offset language?
Well, there really isn't on the language, but can the Titans sweeten other areas? For instance, say years 3 and 4 salaries are, I'm just picking a number, $3 million, $4 million. You make all but the minimum payable as a roster bonus in March or payable as a training camp report bonus. That's a lot better than getting your $3 million from September to December. So this has happened with other negotiations. The team will sweeten the payment terms but keep the offset or even on the bonus payment. So offset is either yes or no, but there's ways to sweeten it for to make it work.
And final thing before we let you go, is it worth, like, when you would talk to a client and you're thinking about a holdout, we just, in the previous segment before you came on, we were talking about nightmare situations. Bosa would be one, but there's plenty of others where you come in late, you pull a hamstring, you get behind, and all of a sudden you're playing catch-up for a good while. What is it that's worth a holdout?
You know, I think, you know, in a general sense, you would say that an offset is not, only because the teams are going to dig their heels in. A certain amount of money is, if you think you can gain it. I just think, you know, the deck is stacked against players right now. I understand what Tom Condon, and he's a good friend, what they're trying to do. They're trying to show future first-round picks, listen, we're not just going to roll over like every other agent with these clauses. It just, you know, like I said, can he get other things out of it? Bosa did get better payment terms at the end of the day, and Bosa went on to be, you know, Defensive Rookie of the Year. So we'll see. I think hold it, you know, listen, I've been on both sides. I shouldn't say this as a management guy, but I don't worry too much about a guy missing a couple weeks in August.
Mm. Interesting. Andrew, thank you so much for coming on with us and spelling some of this out, and hopefully this gets worked out in a day or two and it becomes a non-story.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right. Andrew Brandt, the MMQB, always great insight. I'm telling you, he is very unique in the sphere of people that can help teach you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Think about where he's been. He's negotiated contracts for a team. He's been a player agent. He knows
the ins and outs of all sides.
So we hit on something there towards the end, Derek, that I think might be, and I don't know. He just said it. Tom Condon is a stickler. He wants to sort of change the momentum here for players. But it doesn't help Tom Condon that 30 out of the 32 first-round picks mm-hmm. have already signed, right?
No, it doesn't. And they've probably signed with majority of them, you know, offset language.
Yeah, and well, Marcus Mariota got what he was looking for, mm-hmm. right? And so the Titans set a precedent. So I'm sure Tom Condon said, well, you did it for Mariota. Why not do it for...
Well, he's a quarterback. He's a quarterback.
Quarterbacks are different, I guess.
My quarterback, man. That's my quarterback. Hello, Terrell Owens.
But he said that there's ways that you can negotiate.
Meet in the middle. Maybe stay
tight on the language, but there's some other things you can do to
pay
help.
Pay them a little bit earlier. You know, it's just certain things that they can do to make the pot a little sweeter.
Just strictly because the bottom line is the fans don't care about the nuances of a contract mm-hmm. at the end of the day. They want to see Corey Davis out there. They want to see him there on time. They want to see him be healthy and give himself the best chance to be the player that they hope they get when you draft a guy number five as a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They need this guy to be a contributor.
They need him to be more than a contributor. They can get contribution from Taywan Taylor. They can get contribution from Eric from Decker.
Right. You're saying you want this guy to be a guy that the other team is game planning. We gotta watch out for Davis.
You're picked fifth in the draft, Willie. You're picked fifth out of what is it, 200 and something people?
Sure, but I can list
fifth
you.
In
I
the
could
draft.
List you a lot of guys.
I know they end
picked,
up bust.
Been picked fifth.
Yeah.
That haven't done anything.
But the expectations of them was to come in and be that dude.
The Detroit Lions have a list of their own.
They got a bunch
and the
of
Buccaneers
them.
Have got a list as well.
They got a bunch of them.
All right, when we come back, we'll continue more on this. If you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear some phone callers on this. The nightmare of your first-round pick holding out, then getting hurt, I can just see it right now. I just don't want that to happen. But your thoughts on this whole offset language thing as we count down towards training camp. Stay tuned. 3D is coming back. 3D continues, 102.5 The Game. Coming up at noon, we will talk a little college football. We'll talk about Nick Saban's ideas, thoughts, and these are not new because he's been talking about this for a while, about how you should schedule if you're in the Power 5 conferences. We'll get to that in the next hour, as well as Jake Trotter, who covers the Big 12 for ESPN, and we'll take a look at the Big 12. So a lot is coming. But now, if you want to weigh in on Corey Davis, how do you feel about holding out, the whole offset language thing? If you understand it, if you don't, I get it. Don't worry about it. But just the bottom line is it worth holding out over this if you are Corey Davis? Put yourself in his shoes. As Derek mentioned, the agent works for you. The agent might be trying to set precedents for other clients of his, for players in general, because overall, the leverage is on the team's side in this CBA. There's no question about it. So let us know how you feel. 737-1025. Let's start off with Eric in Clarksville. Eric, welcome into 3D.
Yes, sir. How you doing, guys?
All right.
My point was I agree with the D-Mace. I feel like with him being drafted so high, you know, I understand, like, he basically he wants the offset language not to be on his contract, you know, so that he can get paid. And I feel like a team shouldn't really fight for that too much because at the end of the day, you got to the number five. So I'm expecting you to think that you're going to keep him on your team for a little while. So that probably wouldn't even come into play. So I guess on both sides, fighting for that can kind of be like a bad thing for both the Titans and for Corey Davis, especially when he's a top five pick. So you're expecting a top five receiver to be like the one, like the guy, really, you know. So it's kind of in a pickle, I think, because you come back to the training camp so late, you kind of get that back. So I had, guys. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Eric. Well, I mean, hopefully he doesn't miss, you know, camp, period, because we still have, what, two, three days before camp starts.
Yeah, you still got some time.
Yeah,
to
still
work
got
this
a couple
out.
Of days to work this thing out. So let's just not assume that he will be, like, it's a foregone conclusion, he will miss camp because they can get this deal done, you know, tonight or Friday night or even Saturday morning. He's out there. But you just don't want him to get to a point where you start missing days and then you start missing, you know, that interaction with the other guys, that bond and that cohesiveness you need to build during two-day camps. You already don't have as many days. And I know these younger kids, and Corey Davis, he doesn't even know about, and this is all he know, you know? This,
right.
The way camps have been the last couple of years, this is all he know, whether it was in college or here. The guys that have been in the league 9-10 years, they know that, you know, we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have because we no longer get that time. You know, we don't get that time together. So whatever time we do have together, we have to maximize it. And, you know, holding out, and I'm not saying I'm pretty sure Corey Davis wants to be in camp. Like, he wants to be
sure.
There. But representation is trying to, and you brought up a good point there, Willie, is that sometimes agents do things with certain clients, not necessarily for that client, but for the big picture. They're trying to do it for their other clients as well, or
right.
Their future clients. See what I got? You know, Corey Davis, you see, he didn't have the offset language in his contract.
Right. They're trying to raise the bar for all players.
Exactly.
If I can get it for this, if I can get it for enough guys, the dominoes will start to fall.
Exactly.
Now it'll be common practice.
Yeah,
that's what he's working towards.
So do you want to be the poster boy? That's
right.
The thing. Do you want to be the poster guy?
Joey Bosa sort of went through that.
Yeah,
last
but
year.
Then I think they met, like Andrew said, they met somewhere in the middle. You know, the offset language was still there, but he was able to get some other stuff. And as a player, my thing is, listen, if you drafted me number five, if I get cut, I deserve to get cut. No,
right.
Seriously. If I get drafted fifth overall and I get cut, I wasn't good enough.
And you're probably not going to be good enough
exactly.
On the next team.
Exactly.
Probably.
So,
it doesn't mean you won't.
Yeah.
And I think most fans come down on this side of it. I think the fans got really tired, and this happened in the NBA as well. Started happening in Major League Baseball. But for guys who had never played a game to get the massive signing bonuses they were getting,
mm-hmm.
Sam Bradford, Matthew Stafford, were sort of the last few in that group.
Bradford, well, I think Bradford was the last guy to get
the huge
contract.
Yeah, guarantee.
He had
the signing bonus of
70 something million dollars.
It was
guaranteed.
A lot. I don't know how
basically
much it was exactly, but it was a lot.
63, something like that, man.
So I think the fans liked the idea in this CBA of when you're drafted, you're going to make good money. You're going to make good money, but you're not going to be able to hold out and make this huge, because it used to be the game that you'd play. Okay, what did last year's first round pick? Well, he got $50 million. Well, let's see if we can get $55
million. That's how it was played back then.
That's how they did it.
You know, it's almost, you know, an unspoken word that, okay, if the number two pick in the draft got 10 this year, adding inflation and all this other stuff, then I should get 12. If he got 10, I should get 12, 13. That should just be a common practice.
So
that's
Tom Condon, who has done a lot of those, he used to do a lot of those deals, right?
Exactly.
He's scraping for crumbs.
Yeah, because
comparatively speaking.
Yeah, because it's already set. It's not like you can get the guy. You can't promise him, you know, I can get you fifth pick. I can get you $70 million guaranteed. You can't. It's there. He's only getting this much.
So his experience is in the past, he's been really successful for all this stuff. And now he's like, well, if the money's slotted, you can't even give me this. You know, I'm looking for this offset language thing.
Which he has a point. I agree with, you know,
but I think the
counsel,
teams, yeah.
And I agree with the team. But I've always been a guy that, yeah, you're going to give me some guaranteed money. But if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, if I'm on the verge of getting cut, and I know it is evident that I'm not even the top, you know, 3-4 players, then okay, I didn't earn my keep. That's where
right.
I come from.
If you're good enough, it'll all take care of itself, right?
Yeah, I come from the school to earn your keep. If you earn it, you get to keep it. You know, if you don't earn it, I ain't gonna just give it. You can't keep it. Give it back. So if I cut you, no. Can't have it.
I tend to agree. So. I tend to agree with that. It is if you play and you play well, all of this will take care
of
itself. This is not the end game. Although, from the agent's perspective, he's saying, listen, we have no idea what's going to happen. You could have an injury and you're never the same, and that's just bad luck. So let's get you every dollar that you can get by having earned the right to be the fifth pick in the draft. So I see both sides. And it's unfortunate for the players that they don't have as much leverage, especially these first-round picks, as much leverage as they used to have. But I think, generally speaking, the fans say, yeah. And I think the veteran players would agree, right?
Uh-huh.
Earn your way to that second contract, and then
the
best players will be making the most money, and that's how it should be. You shouldn't get a lot of money up front just for being a draft pick.
And that's why the players signed the collective bargaining agreement that they signed, because they got tired, and it was other reasons, but they got tired of these young guys coming in, you know, making all of this money, not proving themselves, and then that in turn affects the guys that have proven themselves, and now they deserve a contract. Now, you know, a lot of money is so caught up in this guy that's not proven himself and hasn't proven himself and still hadn't proven himself, and now it's my turn to get a contract as a veteran guy that has proven itself in the league, and now you can't give me what I deserve because all the money's tied up in these 3 or 4 guys that haven't been producing.
Let's hope it works out and he's out there, because we don't want to see, and I don't remember all the particulars of Kenny Britt, whether it was a holdout, but Kenny Britt is always the guy that pops in my head of, well, he's had a hamstring, it's been a little sore, he missed some of the mini camps, and then he pulls the hamstring on the first day of the camp that he's out there. He was late getting out there, and there was just there's been a lot of that has gone on all around football. You just don't want that thing to spiral out of control, potentially, if you're Corey Davis. You want him out there. You want him healthy. You want him learning how to succeed, have a good training camp, and then be ready to help the team on week one. That's what you want.
Absolutely.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little more NFL. What's the latest with Colin Kaepernick? Is there maybe a little bit of interest somewhere? A little bit of interest somewhere. And where would there be some interest? Somebody that Derek knows a little bit about.
Heard it from a little birdie.
We'll talk about that when we come back here on 3D, a 102.5 The Game. 3D continues 102.5 The Game. Coming up at noon, we'll talk a little college football as we continue to get ready for this season. Jake Trotter, who covers the Big 12. Plus, we'll talk about Nick Saban's playoff plan.
And oh, they're going to listen to Nick plan. Saban. They're going to listen to Nick Saban. They're going to listen to him.
Yeah, but the problem is there's way more schools that would not benefit from his plan than would. So they'll listen, and then they will say thanks, but no thanks, I think. But we'll get into that in the next hour. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, there was a little bit of breakthrough or news yesterday where the Chiefs owner said, hey, you know, if my coach and my GM wanted Colin Kaepernick, I'd have no problem signing him. There's been a lot of owners that have just said nothing. There's so few people have said anything about Colin Kaepernick that it's been kind of baffling. It's led to all kinds of speculation as to why this is going on. And now you think, Derek, we saw this morning that Joe Flacco injured himself lifting weights, mm-hmm. got a back issue. You think there's a chance that the Ravens would look at Colin Kaepernick?
I think there could be. I mean, they never saw Joe being hurt, and it was just one of those freak accidents. But behind Joe is, Ryan Mallett. And, it's not like Ryan Mallett would be, lighting up the world if he was your starter. He's been to – this is his third team. He was with New England, went to Houston, I believe, right? And then got released by Houston and then went to Baltimore and spent the last portion of the season in Baltimore. And he did play in some games toward the end there. But going into camp, the way this team is structured, they believe they're structuring themselves or putting themselves in a position – to win now, they would like to have a veteran quarterback that has taken a lot of snaps. Colin Kaepernick is not that far removed from being in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, against the Ravens.
Two NFC titles, two NFC playoff titles, and one Super Bowl. They didn't win either one. No, they only went to one.
He went to two Super Bowls. On a couple of really good teams.
They went to two NFC championship games. They won one, lost the other. They lost to Seattle. So this is a guy that I think they lost Seattle. This is a guy that has the experience. He's played in a big game. He has produced on the field. Yes, he did have a not so great season, maybe 2 years ago, somewhere around there. But this is a guy that I think, that you would feel comfortable putting in at quarterback if Joe Flacco can't come back and play. I would rather have him under center than Ryan Mallett, I tell you that. So it would be good for the Baltimore Ravens. And then they have they're familiar with him because Colin played under John's brother Jim in San Francisco. And those guys talk a lot. They're still very close. So I'm pretty sure Jim had nothing but glowing words to say about Colin Kaepernick. And, if you talk about organizations doing it right, there's only a few of them in this league that consistently do it right. And I hope that the Titans, they're starting to, trend that way. But New England, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, the Ravens, maybe another one or two that always seem to do in regards to players, them picking the right players to ultimately win championships. So I wouldn't second guess if they did choose to bring Colin Kaepernick on their on their roster. I think it'd be a good move.
We've discussed this all summer, and I've tried to think about this as many ways as I can as to why he couldn't get a sniff for a while. But I understand this part of it. Colin Kaepernick has started. Most of the time he's been in the league, he started. And so last year he was 1-10 on an awful team as a starter, but his numbers were pretty good. As we pointed out, 16 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. Was he perfect? No, but we know he can run. You know, he has some decent, efficient numbers. So that, on the surface, would at least have you saying, this guy ought to get a job as a backup. With as many bad backups that are out there, you just mentioned Ryan Mallett. We know what he looks like on the field.
Exactly.
It's not that good.
We're not saying that. Is Colin Kaepernick a starter in this league? I don't know. But I know he is a backup.
Heck,
I can
yeah.
tell you that for sure.
But here is the next step of that, in my mind, potentially. One of the things that, and you've said this before, you were one of the first persons, you were the first guy that clued me into this. When Jake Locker was the quarterback of the Titans, and they had Matt Hasselbeck, you looked at me and you said, they need to let Matt Hasselbeck go after this year for one reason, and that was so that you didn't have this argument who should be in there, mm-hmm. Hasselbeck or Locker. He said, you said, you've got to get that out of the picture. And they eventually did that.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought in, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Who was more of the clear backup.
Exactly.
At the time.
It wasn't even a choice. See, when Matt was here, Matt was a starter. But he
right.
was the backup because
okay.
they had drafted a guy first round.
So do you think
round.
That's why some of these teams have shied away from Kaepernick? Because he's been a starter so long, there is a threat
not really.
Of a controversy?
No.
If your starting quarterback isn't all that good?
No. Nah, I mean, eventually, teams that are going to bring him on is not teams necessarily needing a quarterback as that's their primary need. It's a team that maybe needs a backup.
Right.
And I don't think if you have a quarterback solidified, well, for one, if you still have questions at your quarterback position, even with the starter, then yeah, you need to bring him in just to kind of give some competition. But typically, I mean, if teams don't have that quarterback controversy, bringing in a Colin Kaepernick doesn't all of a sudden make one, because everybody knows he's the clear-cut number one. And Colin, we're bringing you in as the clear-cut number two, and that's it.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure Colin Kaepernick, I mean, he's a competitor. He wants to start, yeah, but he's not going to make a fuss like, after a while, you know what, going to papers, I want to be the starter. I should be the starter. I don't think he's that type of dude.
We've talked about this a lot. Why is Matt Cassel the backup? He is a veteran guy. He doesn't pose a threat at all to Marcus Mariota. He's a good influence on a young quarterback like Marcus Mariota. But would the dynamic change if Marcus Mariota were out for 8 weeks and Matt Cassel would have to start 8 games and Colin Kaepernick is sitting on the sideline? That to me is what can change the dynamic. I don't know how bad Flacco injured himself here,
mm-hmm.
but you know, a back injury can be bad. But I've always wondered, like, when your backup is sitting there and he's not having to play,
mm-hmm.
you love having a guy like Matt Cassel. But all of a sudden, if he's got to play 8 or 10 games, not 1 or 2, and you've got a guy in Colin Kaepernick who is sitting out there, who gives you a better chance to win those 8 or 10 games? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, that's a tough one, because you figure let's say for this sake, the Titans. Say this was last year and when Marcus went down. Say he had went down with like 7 games left. You had Matt Cassel, and then you figure, oh, man, we can go get Colin Kaepernick. Who's going to give us a better opportunity to win? Well, first, and it has nothing to do with the ability to play the game, I think Cassel gives you a better opportunity to win because he knows the offense.
The offense thing is a big part of it, for sure.
They can trust them that if they call a play, he's going to know where everything's going. The players are going to trust them. Because they're going to figure, hey, okay, he knows the offense. If I don't know something, then Matt would know it. So I think that's the most important in regards to that, because obviously he's not as athletic as Colin Kaepernick. Arms not as strong as Colin Kaepernick. There are some things Colin can do that Matt Cassel can't do, but the most important thing that Matt Cassel would have been able to do and have over, you know, in a situation like that, would be the experience of being here and playing with these guys. You know,
absolutely.
There's not enough money you can pay for that.
I'm curious to see how this goes, because having Kaepernick in your fold to learn the offense before he has to play is huge. But he's done enough in this league. As you mentioned, he's played in a Super Bowl. He's played in a bunch of playoff games. He's had success He's not that far removed from the success before his team fell apart. Did he have something to do with it? Yeah, I guess he's leveled off. His play is not as good as it was a few years ago. But at the same time, he's achieved enough. Does he pose a threat to some teams in their starting quarterback? It's all swirling around there, but I hope the guy gets a job because we know what the other issue was, and you don't want to – you hope that this doesn't cost him going into a season. It's time. There's still time to get him in there, get camp, get acclimated. But we'll see. When we come back, we'll switch our attention to college football. Jake Trotter joins us from ESPN.com. He covers the Big 12. We'll look at that conference. We'll talk a little Nick Saban as well and his vision for how Power 5 conferences should schedule their seasons. We'll talk about the pros and cons during this next hour of 3D.